embarrassed all the principalities, all the powers. He paraded them through and said, you have no power anymore here. I have conquered death.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, today, if you have your Bibles, they'll be on the screens. We are going to be in the book of Colossians and 1 Corinthians, the book of Colossians and 1 Corinthians. We have two main scripture texts for today, and I pray and hope that this word would touch you in a special way. It's going to be a little different, so just go with me. Y'all cool with me? Look at your neighbor and say, I'll do it. I'll go with them. I'll go with them. All right. And it won't be too weird, I promise. Okay. So Colossians 2, 13 through 15, and then 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Look at your neighbor and say, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, this is your word. It's living, it's breathing, it's active. It's not an old book with random ink. It is your inspired word, your breath, your spirit, your ruach, your pneuma, your Holy Spirit inspired people to write down what is in this book. And when we take it for what it truly is, it transforms our lives. And that's what we're asking this morning, Lord. Transform us by your word. Help us be receptive to what the Spirit is saying. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody said, amen. Amen. If you like taking notes, the title of today's sermon is simply this: Halloween, holy or heathen? Halloween, holy or heathen? I want to show you something that I keep on my desk. Is that okay? I got this. Oh, I got trash in my pocket. How about that? I keep this on my desk. This is Doug. Say hi, Doug. Doug, he sits on my desk right next to my lamp. This is not real, by the way, okay? Bought it at the Dollar Tree, okay? It sits on my desk at all times. And he's really nice. He doesn't talk much, okay? And he's a really good study partner. And so the reason why I keep this little guy on my desk is not because I'm fascinated with skulls or death, but actually monks and Christians have been doing this for a long time. Monks and monasteries would often keep skulls on their desk as a reminder, a physical reminder of how short life is, of the brevity of life, that we could be here one day and gone tomorrow, that we never know how much time that we have on earth that God has allotted for us. And so for me, Every time I look at this, it makes me just, it reminds myself, my days are short, or they could be long, and I must make the most of every single day that God gives me. I must love the Lord with all my heart every single day. I must lay down my life for my wife and my children every single day. I must intercede and love my church community to the best of my ability every single day. It reminds me of how short life is. And he's really cute too. He does both, right? I'll set him right here. And so again, I'm not a weirdo. I don't have a bunch of this stuff laying around. And the reason I wanted to show you this skull is because it reminds me how short life is, but it also reminds me of the holiday of Halloween. And let me just say right out the gate, if there's anybody who's been opposed to Halloween, it's me, okay? I've not been a big fan of the holiday of Halloween over the years. And because of stuff like this, when you look at Halloween or when you think of Halloween, you think of death. And it's not usually like, you know, the death we discuss here in the church, that Jesus conquered death. But it's this weird fascination with death. It's demonic. It can be satanic. It's so dark. And I don't know about y'all. I've never liked hell houses. I've never liked going to Scaremare up in Lynchburg. You remember when the youth group would go there? We would drive up to Lynchburg and go through this hell house. And I would sit in the church van by myself. Everybody else would go through because I said, I ain't doing that. I don't like it. I don't like scary movies because I know that we're not just a physical realm, right? We're not just people with bones and flesh. There is a spiritual reality to our world. And when you think of Halloween, as my daughter says, it's icky, the icky Halloween. And a lot of the world practices Halloween icky, okay? But as I've been processing this, something that I've been asking myself is this holiday good or bad? Is this holiday holy or heathen? Let me ask you a few questions and let's see if we can wrap our minds around this. Is money holy or heathen? Would you say? You're a scholar. It could be both, right? That's it right there. So if you have a love of money, a lust for money, and you use it wrongly, it can be heathen, it can be helpful, and it can be demonic. Or you can take what God's given you and it can be holy and you can bless the nations and you can send missionaries around the world and you can feed people who are poor. It's neither holy or heathen, it's neutral, right? And so the same thing, what about the internet? I was having this conversation with my mother. She said, you know, people do bad stuff on the internet, right? And she said, well, maybe it's helpful, maybe it's heathen. I said, well, what if you get online and you preach the gospel? What if you get online and read the Bible? What if you get online and watch a Christian show? I know Sister Darlene and I love watching Christian movies. Is it holy or heathen? Neither, right? It's how you use it. Another one is alcohol, holy or heathen, right? That one's a little bit more pointed, right? Well, Jesus drank alcohol, right? And so you can either honor God in the way you drink alcohol or you can heathen it, right? Drunkenness is a sin. To have a glass of wine potentially is not a sin, right? It's the behavior associated with the thing, right? And if you've ever dealt with legalism like I have, sometimes these lines can get blurred, right? Last one, what about our mouths? Are our mouths holy or heathen, right? We can either bless people with our mouth or we can curse people with our mouth. We can either bring life to people with our mouth or we can tear people down with our mouth. Is it holy or heathen? It's neutral. It depends how you use the thing, right? And I think actually the same goes with this holiday. As I begin to do research, because again, I was very opposed to this holiday. And again, let me say another caveat here. At the end of the sermon, I don't want you to go out and like buy a bunch of pumpkins per se and practice Halloween differently, nor do I want you to go home and throw all your Halloween stuff away and all your fall scarecrows and stuff away, right? But as I was studying and processing this, it really touched me because I think there's something around this topic of Halloween that can really help us become more like Jesus, okay? Are y'all with me still? Y'all, okay, we good? Okay. So let me give you some history about Halloween. Let's go history for a minute. Halloween is seen by many as a pagan holiday. known as the devil's Super Bowl, if you will. The one day of year where evil just runs rampant and does whatever it wants. And some tried to tie the roots of this holiday of Halloween back to a Celtic holiday called Samhain, where the Celtic people would celebrate the turning of the changing of the seasons, and they would have this festival, harvest festival. And from there, supposedly, we get our modern practice of Halloween, right? Some of the practices of like carving jack-o'-lanterns and putting lights in them, that comes from the Irish. And as people migrated from Europe over to America, a lot of these practices were taken with us. And as a kid, I love going to the pumpkin patch. I still love going to the pumpkin patch. I love going to the pumpkin patch more than my kids. We went 2 weeks ago. It was wonderful, right? So we got all these practices around Halloween and in the fall festival time. But, you know, because of some of this ambiguous history, it's like, is this holy or heathen? Is it good or bad? Because I love pumpkin pie and I love the way it looks. Like, am I doing something wrong or am I doing something not? What's going on here, right? And so even though certainly Halloween has taken a more sinister look, right? There's a lot of demonic things that transpire around Halloween, like I just mentioned. I mean, there's real witchcraft in the world, right? There's real sacrifices that come around Halloween. There's an unhealthy fascination with death. There's horror houses, demented movies, you name it. There's a lot of darkness surrounding Halloween. However, it's not always been that way. It really has not always been that way, because this is why. The origins of Halloween actually come from the church. Sounds crazy. Go with me. They actually come from the church. What do I mean by this? In the 600s, the church is early. The church had been birthed just a few hundred years before. And the Roman Empire is persecuting the church like crazy, killing Christians, martyring Christians, crucifying Christians, just annihilating people who love Jesus. And so while all this is transpiring, what would happen? Let me give you an example. Let's say I was martyred back in the day. What you all would do is say, oh, Dallas was martyred on October 26th. Let's say it's today. So every October 26th, your local church, your local community would have a festival or have a feast in honor of my life and my martyrdom. So every October 26th, y'all break out the fried chicken. Patty would make some mac and cheese. We get Miss Brother Nutter's sweet tea. And y'all would have a little potluck celebration in honor of my life, saying, you know, even though Dallas died for Jesus, we know he'll be raised with Jesus. And so this would transpire every year in different communities. But the problem arose that so many Christians were being murdered and killed and martyred for their faith. They were having a festival like every single week, every single day. So they had a problem, because you can't just party every single day, right? So what they decided to do, what the Catholic Church decided to do hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago, is that one day a year, we are going to honor all the martyrs. And on November 1st, every single year, we have something called All Saints Day, All Martyrs Day. It is a day to remember those who have went before us in Christ, those who have been put to death for Jesus. And then it morphed not only to those who were martyrs for Jesus, but on November 2nd, people celebrate All Souls Day. So it's not only people who die for Jesus who are martyred for their faith. Now on November 2nd, you remember all those who have went before us, right? Who have preceded us in death. And so November 1st and 2nd were these holy days, mind you, holy days to remember those who've went before us. And so just like Christmas, you have Christmas, right? What's the day before Christmas called? Christmas Eve. And so Halloween is All Hallows Eve. It is the day before these holy festival to remember those who have gone before. So October 31st became All Hallows Eve, the day before November 1st, which we would remember those who went before us in the Lord. It was a day, it was a celebration. It was actually a festival to mock death. It was a day to remember what Jesus did to death, right? So here's the connection, and this is why we opened with Colossians and 1 Corinthians. And Halloween's coming up next week, so I'm really trying to help us see this holiday in light of Scripture. People for thousands of years have been able to practice this thing because Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has defeated death, right? That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Death, where is your sting?" Let's look back at our scriptures real quick. This is very important. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. Let's read it again and break it down. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. "When you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave us all our sins." Let's pause there for a minute. Verse 13 testifies to us coming to know Jesus, that we were dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, dead in our offenses, but when we were dead, Christ died for us. And when we trust in him, when we put our faith in him, he makes us alive in Christ Jesus, right? He raises us from death to life, right? We receive what is called eternal life. That's what verse 13 is telling us. We were dead and now we are alive. He forgave us all our sins. Is that some of our sins? Past, present, future. They're all covered by the blood. He forgives us our sins. Verse 14, "having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away by nailing it to the cross." You remember last week, we were in the Lord's Prayer, remember? We looked at that line, "and forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our debts." And what we learned was it's not just money, not just financial debts. What he's talking about is our sins and offenses against God and against others, right? And what Paul's telling us here is that he is, through what Jesus has done, he has canceled our debt, our legal indebtedness, that we were indebted to God with sin. And the wages of sin is what? Death, right? And God, through his son, Jesus Christ, when we confess him as Lord, he cancels the debt. Be no different than if I owed Brother Gary $100 and I wasn't paying him back. And then Brother Gary's like, "You know what, Dallas? Don't worry about it. I've canceled the debt. Don't worry about it. It's canceled. And you don't owe me nothing. It's canceled." And that's what Jesus did. You had an indebtedness accrued up in a bank account, in the heavenly bank account, if you will. And through Jesus' blood, he has canceled the debt. And how did he cancel the debt? Boy, I love this. How did he cancel it? He has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. You see that right there? The cross symbolizes where Jesus canceled the debt. That literally through Jesus' body, as the nails went through his hands and as the blood dripped down his body, it all stuck to the cross. And through the cross and through the blood of Christ, he has canceled the debt. And he left it on the cross. You remember Jesus came off the cross, didn't he? The sins on the cross, Jesus came off. Your debts are forgiven. He nailed them to the cross. They're there. Keep them there. He forgave us our sins. Verse 15, and this is why I think potentially us Christians might need to take back the holiday of Halloween. Verse 15, go with me. It says, "and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." This verse may not sound real exciting, but boy, it is exciting. Let me tell you what's going on. Because Jesus was the only one who was holy. Because Jesus was the only one blameless. Because he who knew no sin took our sin. He was innocent. Brother Nutter, he was innocent. He had never sinned, perfect in all of his ways. That's why what Jesus did worked. He's God in flesh. He took our sins upon himself. And because he knew no sin, he was the only one found worthy. He was the only one found holy. And when the evil powers of this world killed Jesus, they thought they had him. They thought they had him down. Kind of like how, like the Texas Longhorns last night almost lost their football game. They were down 24 points in the fourth quarter. You don't come back from that. But they won. The evil powers of this world, when they killed Jesus, when Satan watched Jesus take his last breath, he's like, oh, I did it. I killed the Son of God. I eliminated the greatest threat in my kingdom. He's dead. He made a mistake. He made a mistake because he was found worthy. And because he was found worthy, God what? Raised him from the dead. And because God has raised him from the dead, people who are dead don't come alive. Like that's kind of the thing that's happened because of sin. Because sin entered into the world, death is entered into the world. Death was never supposed to happen. It is not a reality of this world. And that's why death hurts so much. It's not supposed to be this way. But when Jesus died, because he was the only one found holy, and God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, he disarmed the enemy. The enemy had no more power. Jesus took death away. He disarmed the enemy from the only power that he really has. He says, disarm the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them. When Jesus raised from the dead, when he died on the cross, he embarrassed the principalities and powers and evil spirits of this world. He embarrassed them so much so it says triumphing over them by the cross. In ancient days, when kings would go out to battle, if my army beat your army, what I would do is I would take some of your prisoners of war and I would parade them through the city and I would humiliate the team that's lost, the army that's lost, and I would humiliate them. We'd make fun of them. We would present them to the, hey, look at all these losers. They lost the war. They lost the battle. And when Jesus died, rose from the dead, he the principalities, all the powers. He paraded them through and said, you have no power anymore here. I have conquered death. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says this. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? My friends, as 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, if the rulers of this age understood it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. If the enemy knew what was going to happen on that third day, he wouldn't have killed Jesus, but he did. And I'm so thankful Jesus laid down his life. I'm so thankful that he was the only one found worthy, and I'm so thankful he was raised to life and has made a mockery of death. So, that's why Christians for many years have remembered those who went before them in death, because Jesus died and was raised to life. And we who have died are what? Going to be raised to life. Even though loved ones go before us in death and it hurts, boy, it hurts. We love them. They're dear to us. They're our family. They're our friends. They're special to us. But if we know Jesus and they know Jesus, oh boy, we don't grieve like the world grieves, because we're going to see them again. We're going to have resurrected bodies, and we are going to dwell with God and all his people for all of eternity in a new heavens, in a new earth. And we will all declare, the Lamb was found worthy. Oh, death, where is your sting? And that's why potentially just, now mind you, again, I don't want you to go buy a bunch of pumpkins after this, okay? That's not my goal. But in this demonic holiday, if you will, instead of on October 31st when it comes around, make this like a second Easter for you. You know, in the spring, we celebrate Easter, right? Jesus raising from the dead. Well, might as well, let's have a second Easter and Halloween. Let's remember in a holiday that has been associated with death. Let's remember that Jesus has defeated death, right? He has conquered death, right? And so, and lastly, and I just want to just paint this on Jana, if you don't mind. You mind if I share a little bit of what happened on Thursday? This is why this makes this so special. Boy, I might start running, okay? And so the reason why I think this is so timely, so transformative, is because of this. On Thursday afternoon, I went to Janet's house to pray with the family and pray with Don before he entered into his rest, right? So I went on Thursday, met with the family, and Brother Matt asked me if I would pray. And I said, of course, I'll pray. So we went into the room where Don was resting. He was at peace. He was breathing. He was relaxing. And we just prayed. And there was such a sweet presence that fell in that room. And we just prayed. We prayed the Lord's Prayer. And we just called on God to comfort us. And there was such a sweet presence in that room. Mind you, death was on the doorstep in that room too, right? And as we got done praying, some tears are in people's eyes. All of a sudden, someone in that room began to weep. Someone then in that room began to cry. And someone in that room said, I've been fighting this for a long time. Grandpa wanted me to do this before he died. And someone in that room said, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. Praise God, please, praise God. Because this person didn't say, hey, can you meet me after church? You know, meet me at church on Sunday. He said, right now. I want to pray right now. I want to get right with God right now. And so it's such a paradox because we're in the room where death is on the doorstep. And then, and the enemy's rejoicing every time death happens. But what's so funny is we made a mockery of death because there was a young man who went from death to life in that room that day. He said, I want to get right with God. He said, while my grandpa is passing into eternity, I'm going to receive eternal life right now. Point is, the joke was on the enemy. Death has lost its sting. Yes. We miss Don and are going to miss him. But that day, I'll never forget it. God made a mockery of death. There was a young man who went from death to life. So with all that said, I'm going to give you a few suggestions as we go through the Halloween season. Keaton, you can come up and begin to play the keys. Very simple. Again, if you don't like Halloween, don't worry about it, right? But please eat pumpkin stuff. Pumpkin's so good, okay? But here's a few suggestions that I just want to leave you with. Number one, Halloween was kind of our thing, as I told you. It was the idea of All Saints Day, All Martyrs Day. Today to remember those who've gone before us. And then the enemy took it and distorted it. Y'all remember that old song we used to sing? I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what they stole from me. You remember that song, right? It's like the enemy took this holiday. He's like, you know what? I'm going to take it. But why are we going to let him take it? I'm not saying we do what the world does, but like it was kind of our day. Like it was kind of our thing. Like, it was kind of our idea to remember what Jesus has done to death. And point is, as I was studying for this, really inspired by this, like we don't have to give ground to the enemy. Jesus has conquered death. Like we can make a mockery of death. While the world is fascinated with the dark and demonic, we can say Jesus has disarmed all those powers. They have no power here. It was our day. So if you want to celebrate in some way, it's okay. All right? Do you like jack-o'-lanterns? Do you like scarecrows? Do you like pumpkins? That's okay. Number two, we are still in this world. Let me read you. We are still in this world. John 17, 15 through 19 says this. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. This is Jesus, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may too be truly sanctified. Here's the point. When we come to know Jesus, he doesn't immediately take us to heaven, right? If you have a deathbed confession, that's different. But for most of us, we've went from death to life and we're still here awaiting that day when we will go to be with Jesus. We still live in this world, but we are not of this world, right? We have dual citizenship. We belong to God's kingdom, but we are also residents of the United States of America. We live in this tension. We are in the world, but not of the world. I love what it says in Romans, right? Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The idea is that even though we're in this world, we're not conforming to the evil, demonic practices of this world, but we're being transformed by the Holy Spirit into people who look like Jesus, who grow the fruits of the Spirit, right? And so since we're still in the world, we have two options. We can retreat to the hills and just pray that the Lord would come quickly, or we can just occupy the territory God's given us. One of our Emily and I's best friends is here from Galena, Kansas. This is Stephanie Sullivan right here in the front row. She's very embarrassed. Stephanie has been one of our greatest dear friends. I could say so much about her. And Stephanie was a kids pastor for a long time. And she had a transition in life, and now she's a school teacher back in Kansas. And I think what she's doing at that school is a perfect example to this. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. She used to work in the church, inside the church, and she did a really good job. But now she gets to work in a secular environment, if you can call it that, right? She worked in a school. But let me tell you, from the testimonies she has told me, she is bringing the kingdom of God into that school because she has recognized, amen, because she has recognized that I am in the world, but not of the world. That in this school, there are strongholds and demonic things that I have to confront. And if I don't do it, who will? Right? And so everywhere we go, we get to be in the world, but not of the world. And so the reason why I think this connects with Halloween is if you don't like Halloween, again, don't practice it. But if you want to partake in it, you can do it in a way that honors God. We don't have to, and I love the Amish. They are awesome. They make some good butter. But they don't evangelize, really. They're retreated away from everybody. We're supposed to be in the world winning people to Christ. And so when we call something heathen, when it's not, we are potentially missing an opportunity. Here's the point. You can still practice the Halloween or Christmas or whatever it is, and you can still honor God. You can be in the world and not of the world, bringing a testimony of Jesus Christ in everything you do, wherever you go. Amen. Lastly, as we begin to wrap up, very important, number three, if you practice Halloween, stay away from the demonic stuff. Okay. Again, I told you at the beginning, I've not been a big fan of Halloween. Probably in part because I've had some interesting experiences with the demonic in the spiritual realm. Right? Here's the point. We are not just bodies. We're not just physical world. This is not just a natural world. We live in a supernatural world. And many people in our world, in our society, want to say, it's just science, right? It's just nature. There is no transcendent God. This is all it is. No, it is not. The scriptures teach emphatically that there is a spiritual realm. It is real. And what happens in the spiritual realm affects what happens here in the physical realm. And so I'm telling you, do not play with the devil. Don't do demonic stuff. Don't do tarot cards, okay? Don't go see fortune tellers, okay? Why would you go see a fortune teller when you know the one who holds your fortune, actually, right? You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to partake in demonic activities. You don't need to partake in the works of the flesh. These are all demonic. The word demonic means to be in opposition of God. We don't have to participate in these things. As it pertains to Halloween, like if you have kids, don't let them dress up as something really gross. like a dark witch or something. Let them dress up like a princess. Isn't that cute? Your kids aren't gonna catch a demon by dressing up like a princess, all right? Simmy's been running around the house in a little Batman costume, being Batgirl. It's so cute. Is she doing something demonic? Absolutely not. She's being a kid, right? Right? So the point is, from 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says this, reject every kind of evil. Don't give the enemy a stronghold anywhere in your life. If you practice Halloween, stay away from all the nasty, dark stuff. If some of y'all like horror movies, maybe you need to stop watching, okay? Right? Stay away from the demonic stuff. And number four, lastly, Jesus has conquered death. So on this upcoming Friday, on Halloween, when this comes around, perhaps you'll look at it a little different. Perhaps you'll just wake up on that morning and all you will think is, death, where is your sting? Enemy, you have been disarmed because of what Jesus has done. And this is why, my friends, I keep this on my desk to remind me Jesus has conquered death and that my time is short and I have to make the most of it. Let's wrap up today, my friends. Would you close your eyes with me just for a moment? And I really hope I haven't offended anyone, but I felt like I wanted to teach and preach on this. So I hope it's been a blessing to you. But like I said, death has lost its sting. Jesus has conquered death. However, you might be here today and you do not know Jesus, and death still is creeping on your doorstep. That if you don't know Jesus, if you don't confess your sins and recognize him as Lord, that you will pay the consequences of your sins and you'll be separated from God for eternity. But here's the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and who shall ever believeth in him, put their trust in him, shall not perish, but should have everlasting life. Today, with eyes closed, with heads bowed, if you do not know Jesus and you want to get right with him today and you want to come running home into his kingdom, I just want to invite you to raise your hand right where you are on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Anybody here today? God desires that all would come to salvation. That's why 1 and 2 Peter talk about God's patience is supposed to lead to salvation. If there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, it's time to get right with God. Secondly, I just want to offer this invitation as heads bowed, eyes are still closed, just focus. Perhaps you've been going through something in your life that feels like death. Just wearing you out. Something's going on and you just need a touch from God. Would you just raise your hand and just say, God, I need your touch today. Just acknowledge your hand right before, say, God, touch me. God, touch me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your beauty. Jesus, you have conquered death. Death has lost its sting. Jesus, you have disarmed the powers and authorities by laying your life down on the cross. You have nailed our sins to the cross, and we rejoice that we have trusted in the saving work that you've done. Lord, today I also ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in the lives of the people here, Lord. There's people here today, Lord, who are hurting, who are facing the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord, we just ask, come strengthen them. Come protect them. Come transform their lives. Come bring them peace. You would be glorified in every single aspect of their lives. The enemy has lost his power. Jesus, you have received all power and authority. And today we put that trust, back in your hands. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen.